I just keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. I just keep trusting my Lord, and He gives a song. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail. He's a faithful friend, such a faithful friend. I can count on Him to the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail.
He's a faithful friend.
He's a faithful friend.
Such a faithful friend.
Such a faithful friend.
I can count on Him.
I can count on Him.
To the very end.
To the very end. Though the storm clouds darken the sky or the heavenly trail, I just keep trusting my Lord. He will never fail.
Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
That distant shore, I'll sing while entering heaven's door. Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me. Step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way, and hitherto my Lord has led. Each step I tread, and soon in heaven it will be said, Jesus led me all the way. Jesus led me all. By step each day, I will tell the saints and angels as I lay my burdens down. Jesus led me all the way.
I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He who keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he who keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. from this time forth and even forevermore. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, now may Israel say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side, when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick. When their wrath was kindled against us, then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul, then the proud waters had gone over our soul. Blessed be the Lord who hath not given us as a prey to their teeth. Our soul has escaped like a bird out of the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we are escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. They who trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth, even forever. Precious words from the Psalms.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you the sacrifice of joy. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, and we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and we offer up to you sacrifices of joy. We give you praise. We give you praise. Lord, now we give you the praise.
wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 9 and 10. What is that labor that the Apostle Paul is speaking of? He said, we labor, we really work at it, we put forth diligence, so that whether we are present with the Lord in heaven or absent from him on this earth, for we walk by faith, not by sight, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. He said, I want to please God. I want to do his will, and so I work at it. I labor toward that purpose. Well, I thought salvation was by grace, not by works. So it is. And yet the apostle says, I work at it. We labor in order to be accepted of God. What did he mean? Well, certainly, as he was speaking of laboring to please God and to be accepted of the Lord, he was not speaking of his making atonement for his sins, because only Jesus could do that. And as the old song says, Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. There's nothing I can add to nor take away. He did it, he paid the price. So Paul was not speaking of that labor whereby we add something to the atonement that Jesus paid for us on Calvary's cross. His atonement is all sufficient. I have to do absolutely nothing towards it. So he wasn't speaking of laboring in order to add something to Christ's atonement for our sins. What Jesus did is sufficient, all sufficient. Nor was he speaking of adding to the righteousness of Christ. Jesus is perfect. He needs no addition from you nor me. Nor was he speaking of laboring in order to be more of a child of God than he was. Once you're a child of the Lord, you can't be any more a child. Now you can be more pleasing, but you can't be any more a child of God than what you are. So he wasn't laboring in order to be more a child of God. But when he speaks of laboring in order to be accepted of the Lord, he is speaking, I think, of earnest endeavor to please God. Not to add to the atonement of Jesus, that was all sufficient. Not to add to the righteousness of Christ, he is our everything. Not to be more a child of God than what we are, because you can't make yourself any more a child than you are. But endeavoring, laboring, working in order to please God, meaning to strive daily to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord, to have a heart for God, to have a desire to please God. Even as Jesus said, I do always those things that please the Father. I think that's what Paul was speaking of when he said, I labor. Not in order to bring salvation to me. Jesus did that. And it's by grace alone and faith in his finished work at Calvary. But I do labor to be found pleasing in his sight. And there's so many scriptures in the New Testament that attest to the meaning of that. That we need to please God more and more, and we need to work at it. Like in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so ye would abound more and more. In other words, get down to business. Now, you can't be any more a child of God than you are, but you can certainly be more pleasing to God and more acceptable. You know, the child that you have in your home, Jimmy, Mary, Sue, Tom, whoever they are, they can't be any more your child than they are, but they could sure be a whole lot more acceptable and a whole lot more pleasing. So the labor that Paul is speaking of is not to be more a child of God, but to be acceptable, to be found well-pleasing in his sight. Romans 8, verse 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. And so I want to please God. And we need to study his precious word so that we can understand what he wants of me, what he wants of you, how to please him. We read of that congregation of Israel that Moses led through the wilderness, how that with many of them God was not well pleased. How are you? What is your life? Maybe you go to church all the time. Maybe you do read your Bible occasionally. But what is your life like? Not just that hour on Sunday morning in the sanctuary as you're singing the hymns with everybody else. What is it like out there in the marketplace, in the classroom, there in the factory? Are you walking pleasing to God? Is your heart right with God? Maybe you are a child of God, and there's nothing more that you can do to make yourself more a child of God than you are. But do you please God? Do you always endeavor to do those things pleasing in his sight? In everything of our life, you can name many different areas of our life that all of us need to really work at. Really put forth some labor. Put your shoulder to the wheel. Get down to business, the business of pleasing God. Such as, well, with our tongue. Some people seem to have the idea that they can just use their tongue any old way they want to. But the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. In other words, let the words that you speak be palatable. Let them be tasteful. Choose right words. A word spoken in due season, how good is it? It is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, Solomon writes. A good word spoken. David prayed, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is important, the things that we speak. Do you know we can use our tongue to either praise God or curse men? We can use our tongue to build people up and edify them or destroy them and tear them down. But for our tongue to be used for the glory of God. You see, Jesus said that we shall give an account for every idle word which we shall speak. Oh, maybe we'd better start thinking a little more seriously about what we say. We can't just go around running our mouth and saying anything that comes to our brain and let it lash out at people. We can't do that. Because we shall give an account to the Lord someday. How our words have destroyed men, have offended, have hurt. So this is certainly one of the areas where we need to endeavor to please God, is with our tongue and the words that come forth through our mouth. Also, in our body, let us please God. Doesn't the scripture say that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, who you have of God and you're not of your own? You're bought with a price. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, please God. Your body, your soul, your spirit, be everything he wants you to be. Romans 6, verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. You know as well as I do, we're living in a day and time when it seems that anything goes. Anything that was sinful or wrong yesterday, anything that was abnormal yesterday, now is normal, and it's just up to your choice, whatever your lifestyle is, however you want to live. Don't let anybody tell you what to do. Well, I'm not telling you what to do, but God sure is. And the scripture still says, the good old book still says, what a man sows, he's going to reap. Hollywood can tell us differently. The philosopher of this world can try to change our mind. Politicians can try to steer us in another direction. But God's book still says, what you sow, you're going to reap. And we're reaping the results of our sinfulness, aren't we? Let us please God, even with the faculties of our bodies, yielding our members of our body to righteousness, not to corruption, not to sin. If we yield our bodies to sin, we become a slave of the worst kind, because the slave to passion is the worst kind of bondage. People say, oh, that's freedom. That's the good life. You know why they say that? Because their eyes are blind and they are spiritually ignorant. That's why. Jesus said people will do all these things because they don't know the Father. They don't know God. That's why they act the way they do and behave the way they do. And that's why some people foolishly think that unbridled lust and passion and doing whatever you want to do is freedom. When anybody who knows anything about anything knows, that's the bondage of the worst kind. You know what real freedom is. Real freedom is saying yes to God, saying yes to life, saying yes to health, saying yes to goodness. That's freedom. But you have to work at this. You know, God doesn't do everything for us. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest after having preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He had to work at it every day. And so do you, so do I. Look at the metaphors that are given to us in the scripture about Christian living. How it is described as a warfare, as a race, a struggle, a building up of some great temple structure, all suggesting the idea of patient, persistent, continuous toil, a struggle with antagonistic forces and difficulties, so that we must set our shoulder to the wheel, put our backs into our work. You've got to work at this. And again, I say, when I speak of work and labor, that is not to add anything to the atonement accomplished by Christ. He did it all. But it is an effort required on our part to be found pleasing to God and acceptable to Him. And I want to work at that. Every other area of our lives, what about your money? 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Do you please God in the giving of your finances? Or do you keep it all selfishly for you and yourself and your own? What about God's work? What about the things that the Lord requires? And if you do give it, do you do it grudgingly or cheerfully? God loveth a cheerful giver. What about in your relationships with people? Are you pleasing God? Is your treatment of others in kindness, love, patience? As Romans 14, verse 19 tells us, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things with which one may edify another. Can I tell you, if there's anything in life that needs a lot of working at, it's that. Working at relationships. Husbands and wives are at each other's throats, as it were. Parents and children, the upset emotions, the antagonistic feelings and thoughts that go on within what should be a loving relationship and a loving home, so often is the front lines of battle. Are you pleasing God in your relationships? You know, it takes two. It's not just one, but it's both of you. Both of you have to work at it. all of us do. It's not just one. It's your responsibility, too. And it's something more than just going 50-50. Sometimes you have to go 90% of the way. But let your treatment toward others be in kindness and love and patience. And what about in your time? Do you please God in your time? Do you take time out in your busy, busy schedule and your rushing here and there and all the things that have to be done? Do you take time out to touch the heart of God in prayer, in reading the scriptures, in having fellowship with the saints? It is so easy to become head over heels in cares, anxieties, business, and in good things. I'm not talking about bad things, in good things. Jesus said, Luke 21, verse 34, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares." You know, there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. There's nothing wrong with working for a living. Of course you have to work for a living, and there are things that we've got to take care of. Just keep it in the right perspective. Don't get so deeply involved with all the business and cares of life that you don't take time out to touch the heart of God in prayer. Oh, dear friend, are we pleasing God? Well, that was the very purpose and desire of the Apostle Paul. That is what stimulated the apostle's heart and strengthened his hands and fired his zeal. He wanted to be acceptable of God. I, for one, don't want to just simply go to church every week and let it go at that. I want my life to be found pleasing in his sight in every area of my life and soul. And I am delighted that in moments like these we can share together devotionally. I hope it's a strength to you, a blessing. That's what I want to be. I want to be an encourager to you, and an encouragement to look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, an encouragement to you to take time out to touch the heart of God in prayer, reading His Word, an encouragement to you to labor, to put your shoulder to the wheel, toward the purpose of pleasing God and being acceptable of Him in moments like these. Looks like my time is gone. I wish I had a few more minutes. This is John Thrasher. Thanks for listening. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to share with you morning devotions. Our mail address, Post Office Box 552, Bristol, Tennessee. The name of the program, Morning Devotions. Have a good day. God bless you. Thank you.